Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but around the world, but also to welcome to the program four talented, excited, brilliant, clever, amusing, witty players who are going to show off their skill and dexterity with words. And those four are seated on my right, Paul Merton and Kit Hesketh-Harvey, and seated on my left, Alan Cochrane and Tony Hawks. Please welcome all four of them. And as usual, I am going to ask them to speak on a subject that I will give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. Beside me sits Sarah Sharp, who's going to help me keep a score. She's going to blow a whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Lowry Centre at Salford Quays. And we have a lovely Salford, Manchester, Northwest audience in front of us who are just eager for us to start the show, aren't you? And let's begin with Tony Hawks. Tony, my favourite character in Coronation Street. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
I have to confess to not being a huge fan of Coronation Street, although it does come from Manchester, hence the reaction against me from this beautiful audience, who I feel confident will forgive me shortly. I did go to the set, which you can wander around if you come up to this place. I looked for my favourite character, Elsie Tanner. Know nothing about her. She wasn't anywhere to be found. I asked for my money back, and I was furious. I went up to the manager, I shook his head.
You're challenged.
He hesitated.
No, he didn't. He shook his head, that's all.
Before he shook his head, I went up to the man manager. I suppose it could have been a woman manager. I don't know.
He was a man. I wouldn't shake the head of a woman. That would be rude.
I think it was from the slip of the tongues, but he kept going and made it sound fluent.
Yes, he did.
Fluent. So I don't think I can give it to you for hesitation.
Okay. No, that's fine.
So, Tony, I think you wriggled out of that one quite cleverly. And you still keep the snub. You get a point for an incorrect challenge, and you have 33 seconds to continue on my favourite character in Coronation Street, starting now.
I believe there were quite a few Duckworths for a period of time, and I was not familiar with any of them, which will make this next 20 seconds unexciting in many ways.
Paul, you've found...
I've got a solution to that. I think it's deviation, because he hasn't talked about his favourite character. He says he hasn't got one because he hasn't watched the show. So, you see, by definition, he can't actually deliver on the subject because he doesn't know what he's talking about. Yeah. Yeah. One person agreed with me.
I'll go by the
power of the mob. Do you think Paul's challenge is legitimate? If so, cheer. Yay! I won't ask for the reverse. Paul, you've got the benefit of the doubt. You've 22 seconds on my favourite character in Coronation Street, starting now.
My favourite character in Coronation Street is undoubtedly Albert Tatlock. He was a juvenile delinquent when I started watching it. He was known for scrumping apples, but also Minnie Coldwell. There was this wonderful woman who had a cat called Bobby, and perhaps that particular feline animal was my favourite character when I come to think about it. There used to be...
Tony Challenge.
We've got three favourite characters.
Yeah. And you didn't have one.
That's worse than not having one, that is, having three.
It's not worse than having none, is it?
I don't know. Can you have three favourite characters? There's no reason why you shouldn't.
Yeah.
Of course you can.
What does favourite mean?
Favourite means primus, not inter pares. It is primus, isn't it? You did Latin.
They make cookers, don't they? They make cookers.
Yeah, you're technically correct, but I think colloquially people talk about my favourite and multiply
people
it by one.
Learn English from this programme.
Yes.
You have a responsibility.
Kid.
And that's why the world's in the mess it is today.
Paul, you've got the benefit of the doubt.
Bye-bye.
6 seconds on my favourite character in Coronation Street, starting now.
But when we think of Coronation Street, we must reflect on...
Kit Challenge.
We prefer not to. This is the BBC.
All right, we'll give you a bonus point because it was very amusing and interesting and
intelligent interruption.
Yeah.
But Paul has the benefit of the doubt, and he's still got my favourite character in Coronation Street. And 3 seconds, Paul, starting now.
The barmaid at the Rover's Return, Bette Lynch, with that huge towel of hair.
So Paul Mutton was speaking as the whistle went, and in this game, whoever does that gains an extra point, and you won't be surprised to hear that he's in the lead at the end of the first round. Kit Hesketh-Harvey, will you begin the next round? Oh, dear, this is an interesting subject. What Nicholas keeps in his wallet? Well, my wallet is there. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
Not money, clearly, because he is the most generous of people, and as he walks the streets of Salford and children crowd to touch the hem of his garment, he distributes £5 notes to them blithely, insouciant of his financial future. He's got his Botox card.
I was just going to say deviation. I think the reason the children are following him is that he carries Dairylea all the time. And kids love Dairylea.
Oh, really?
They'll do anything for it.
Maybe he keeps it in his wallet.
Yeah. I just felt...
Do you keep cheese in your wallet?
I don't have cheese or Dairylea or any of those things, but I tell you what, as you were being sort of within the world of fantasy, and Alan's was in the world of fantasy with Dairylea in my pocket, I'm going to give Alan a chance to come in on this one and say, not the benefit of the doubt, but I think just justice... No, not justice.
It's an old-fashioned British word, but it still means something.
So, poetic justice for the surreal thoughts they've both been putting forward. Alan, 46 seconds. What Nicholas keeps in his wallet, starting now.
Thin slices of processed cheese are all that Nicholas Parsons keeps in his wallet. I'm not quite sure why we've started this strange, surreal running of Nicholas Parsons being in... Oh, yeah.
Repetition of Parsons.
Yes, because it's Nicholas on there. Yes. And you got back in again on the surreal way that this is going. 35 seconds, Kit. What Nicholas keeps in his wallet, starting now.
Fan letters from the great and the good to him, Mrs. Siddons and David Garrick, I believe, are in there. No driving licence, obviously, because he dates from before the time when carriages were horseless. But a checkbook. He's particularly fond of Milos Kundera as the unbearable likeness of being. Oh, sorry, I've hoist myself.
It's a slight hesitation while we all marvelled. It was a hesitation.
It was a hesitation. Thank you for rescuing me.
Yes, you're absolutely right, Paul. He's bringing out so many Latin tags, it's not true. Latin. I don't think he even knows what they mean.
It's Milan Kundera, isn't it?
Oh, is it?
Yeah, not so clever
what
now.
What do we say? Oh, I don't know. Is that how you pronounce him as well? I had no idea.
I don't know. I've only read it.
Oh, which is great.
Never said it before.
Right. It's Paul, you had the correct challenge. And you have the subject now, what Nicholas keeps in his wallet. And there are 16 seconds starting now.
Large white fivers the size of bedsheets. Currency that had been banned back in the early 1960s still...
Tony Challenge.
Well, I think it was more withdrawn than banned. I don't think they banned the £5 note. They withdrew
well,
it.
Well, it was no longer legal currency.
Yeah,
so
but
in
it
the
wasn't
sense
banned.
That's, well, it's no
it wasn't
longer
like
legal
you,
currency.
You didn't go to prison if you had one.
No, I didn't suggest you did, but it was banned as legal currency because it was no longer legal
Nicholas?
Currency.
No, I think I've got to be with you on this one, Tony. It wasn't banned. It was disbanded.
No, it wasn't banned. You were allowed to use it all the time.
Yeah, but you wouldn't be able to get anything in exchange for it.
No.
Because it wasn't legal tender.
No, it wasn't legal tender.
So it wasn't banned.
It wasn't banned, no.
No, but just withdrawn.
It wasn't banned.
So I think I've got to give the benefit of the doubt to Tony.
Yeah, exactly.
And then at least everyone has spoken on this subject in this round, which has been almost surreal. Well, it has been surreal. What Nicholas keeps in his wallet, Tony, and 8 seconds starting now.
Imagine the scene. Nicholas is getting his hair cut. The barber says, would you like anything for the weekend?
Well, we haven't heard any mention of the wallet. He's been going for quite some time. I mean, deviation from the subject as written on the card.
Shame. He went for 5 seconds.
Yeah, I know, 5 seconds.
In relation to the 60 seconds available, I'm going to give you another benefit of the doubt.
Yeah,
you
do.
Keep the subject. 3 seconds, what Nicholas keeps in his wallet, starting now.
Yes, I'll have one of those, Nicholas said. Pops it in his wallet.
Oh, wait a minute, Paul Tanner.
Oh, I buzzed just before he said wallet, so I withdraw my challenge. But having added that seconds onto the previous seconds, he still hadn't mentioned wallet, I thought it was time to come in.
You're probably right. I give him benefits all round. I give you the benefit of the doubt. One second, Paul, on what Nicholas keeps in his wallet, starting now.
A signed photograph of Lord Haw-Haw.
I used to impersonate him during the war, but I...
You used to impersonate Lord Haw-Haw?
Germany calling. Germany calling.
It's uncanny.
Where is the Ark Royal? Anybody old enough to remember that? He became one of the most popular comics on radio.
Yeah, Lord Haw-Haw, yeah.
Yes, and he was... what was his name? He was hanged.
William Joyce.
William Joyce, thank you. Mm. Your knowledge of history is great. Mm. He was put in the Tower of London, wasn't he, after the war? Yes.
I think the last person to be actually hung in the...
Can't you go to the pub and talk about this?
This is history.
Yeah.
I'm nodding off.
This is...
This is... Well, your attention span has never been great, has it?
Right. Let's continue with just a minute. And Alan Cochrane, we'd like you to begin the next round. And the subject in front of me is bobbins. Tell us something about... It's a real old-fashioned period now. Yeah. I suppose that's what I identify with it. Yeah.
Did you put on a special accent when you said bobbins?
No.
You're not auditioning for somebody, are you?
No, I was just thinking how foolish I was to say, is this an old-fashioned word, how I identify with it, which was very foolish of me, because I like to think I'm modern and up to time and everything.
Well, three people agree with you.
I know. Right, Alan, the subject is bobbins, and your time starts now.
Bobbins is one of those words that's only used by modern, up-to-date, trendy, fashionable people. And it's a word used in the northwest of England, which I found out means bad. But I learned that lesson the hard way when I moved to that area, and people would say to me after my show, your show was bobbins. Thank you very much, I would say.
Tony Challenge.
Repetition of show.
Yes, your show. I remember it after my show. Yes.
It's all right. I'm an adult. I can cope.
Tony, you have a great challenge. 41 seconds on bobbins starting now.
I'm not absolutely certain about this and will probably be corrected, but I thought bobbins were those little things in the middle of Kirkata. Now, nobody can argue with that.
I think it's a province in India.
Who challenged first? I cut it out.
Yes, hesitation and deviation.
Oh, yes, there was. He deserves to hesitate after what he said. Right. 24 seconds, Kit, is available for you on bobbins starting now.
It's a theatrical term for a load of old rubbish. There was a glorious story. Hell, I don't come to that.
Tony challenge.
Well, we were going to let that go, but he just threw himself on his own sword.
I'm just too honourable,
he was too honourable and hesitated again.
Yes, he hesitated. Right, 28 seconds, Tony, correct challenge. 28 seconds on bobbins, starting now.
In sewing machines, I believe, but I'm no expert on bobbins, as will become apparent. In the northwest and possibly other areas around there, it's a bad thing. I've learnt this from Alan, and I think Alan...
Your challenge. Alan, you didn't pick it up. He turned
to
you.
I did. I just missed it. I was a little bit behind Kit.
Yes, Paul, your challenge.
Repetition of Alan.
Of Alan, yes. So there's 11 seconds still available on bobbins, Paul, starting now.
There's an old northern phrase and it says, either you bitch it or in the bobbin. What happened then?
Kit challenge.
It was lovely, but as I say, people are learning English. Really don't feel that.
But English is more than just the BBC pronunciation.
Absolutely, but you do need teeth.
An island of dialects.
That wasn't any particular dialect. It was a sort of bastardization.
Very insulting to the good people.
Bastardization?
Yes. Of a northwest accent.
Do you think anybody in this room speaks like that?
Me!
And you? Oh, well. A bonus point to that man in the audience at the back there. And, Kit, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt and say you have 7 seconds on bobbins starting now.
We had to do French knitting to get out of the corps at school, and you stick 4 nails into the top of a bobbin and produce a skein of wool which is absolutely useless.
So, Kit hits it rather within speaking as the whistle went. Gain that extra point is equal with Tony Hawk's in second place, just behind Paul Merton, and they're all just ahead of Alan Cochrane.
But I'm not technically last, because now that man in the audience is behind me.
So true.
Yes, I don't think you'll be able to get any more points, because otherwise the whole game will be kiboshed.
I'm just glad to be off the bottom.
Well, I'll tell you what, give him another bonus point, because... I did enjoy what he said, right.
What about the man in the audience? Why doesn't he get another bonus?
Do you want a bonus point at the back there?
Yes, please.
Right. Put his name down there. Well, have you got a name?
Will.
Will. Will, right.
Will will be able to go home and say, you never guess what happened to me.
I came fifth in just a minute. You never thought you'd work your way in that way, did you, Will? Right. And Paul, we'd like you to begin. Oh, that lovely subject. Seeing the dentist. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
Seeing the dentist is all very well if you have a good dentist, somebody that you can trust. And there is a gentleman that I see in the Notting Hill area in London who's very good. His name is Simon Godley. He's also partly a comedian and an actor, and he has appeared on television over the years. And he has an enormous number of show business anecdotes. His favourite is Bruce Forsyth. He can regale you with stories that he's read from Brucey's autobiography, and they are wonderful. Oh, they're lovely, lovely stories. That's what he tells us.
Get new challenge.
Repetition of lovely.
Lovely. So, get a correct challenge for repetition, and it's with you now. Seeing the dentist, 33 seconds available, starting now.
I try not to see the dentist if I can possibly help it. I screw my eyes up very short.
Tell me, challenge.
Was there a hesitation?
Yes, there was, I'm sorry.
Well, we interpret that as hesitation.
I was very fearful.
He was trying to turn one word into another. I don't know what you're saying, Kit, but I'm just trying to interpret it. So, Tony, you've got the subject. Seeing the dentist, and there are 28 seconds starting now.
I've never quite understood why the dentist insists on asking you a question when he's got your mouth wedged wide open. Where did you go on holiday this year?
Alan, your challenge.
Ibiza.
I didn't know you were a dentist.
I thought I was in a sketch for a moment.
But it was a repetition of ah.
Yeah, he said ah. That's definitely my challenge. Absolutely. Right.
So you've got the subject. You've got 18 seconds on. Seeing the dentist, Alan, starting now.
Ibiza, I told my dentist as he asked me where I'd been on holiday this year whilst he had his hands in my mouth. He didn't seem to think it was an excellent holiday and recommended Ponton.
Oh, dear, Kit Challenge.
Sorry, I feel awful. You said holiday twice, darling.
You said holiday twice.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So I did, darling.
8 seconds. Back with you, Kit.
It's like a punch in a velvet glove, isn't it? Someone calls you darling whilst taking the points off you.
No, you're gaining. Right. We're all winning. Seeing the dentist, Kit, with you starting now.
It's virtually impossible these days. You have to go to Slovenia, Bratislava, Prague, somewhere like
Alan
that.
Alan, challenge.
You don't. Mine's just up the road.
Alan, we're going to give that one to you as well. Five seconds, darling. Seeing the dentist, starting now.
Seeing the dentist is nowhere near as frightening, I find, as hearing the dentist.
So, Alan Cochrane was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point for doing so, and, oh, it's very interesting. There's one point separates all four of them. Alan Cochrane, Tony Hawkes, Kit Hesketh-Harvey, and Paul Merton, in that order, in that ascending order. Tony, it's your turn to begin. The subject is... The Age of the Dinosaur. 60 seconds, starting now.
Few people would deny that the age of the dinosaur was a long time ago. Cave... Oh, hang on, somebody does.
Nicholas Parsons. Oh, I'm sorry, they've turned.
Whatever happens now, you're not going to get a point for that. And so, an incorrect challenge. Tony, you have another point. You have 54 seconds. The Age of the Dinosaur, starting now.
We went on a school trip to the Natural History Museum in London, and there was a dinosaur as we walked in. The bones thereof, you must understand, not the moving instrument of the animal itself, obviously. And I was amazed to think that something that size only ate vegetables. This is what we were told by the man in the outfit who I assumed was working there. I took him, shook him by the head, but that's another story. The Age of the Dinosaur is also a comic book which you can buy if you go into a shop which is fictional, which is something that I often do of a week.
Aaron, you chum first.
Well, I think deviation. He's in a fictional shop, surely. Surely he's clutching at straws now. If he's often in a fictional shop, it's not the age of the dinosaur, which is the subject.
The age of the dinosaur, Alan, is with you because you've got him with the correct challenge. 19 seconds available starting now.
27 is the age of the dinosaur that I found in the bottom of my garden. I don't know what it was doing there. It had dug and dug and dug and then... Oh, that's... Yeah, that's not going to work, is it? In fairness, it was one to dig, and it was two dogs that had come through the ground in the garden. But I see how the confusion has arisen.
And who was the first to challenge?
Oh, I think they all jumped on it.
Tony,
darling,
you came in first. What was your challenge?
My challenge was repetition of duck, Nicholas. Doug, Nicholas. Not duck. Yes, that would be an error. Yeah.
So you've got the age of the dinosaur, Tony. 11 seconds starting now.
The poor trembling caveman. The Tyrannosaurus Rex coming towards him. He only has a club to try and beat
poor
the...
Poor challenge.
What deviation, because humankind and dinosaurs did not inhabit the Earth at the same time. So a caveman would not have...
Did they really not?
No, not at all. The idea of a caveman trembling at the sight
Explain
of a Tyrannosaurus Rex...
Explain the Flintstones.
It's an animated cartoon which you'd be, you wouldn't really choose as photographic evidence.
No, I think you're right, actually.
I am, yeah.
So, right, you've got the subject of the age of the dinosaur, and 5 seconds to go, starting now.
As you looked up into those pagan skies, you realised that one...
Right, so Paul Merton was speaking as a whistle-weighing game. That extra point is all very, very close. In ascending order... On 1 point separating them is Alan Cochrane, Kit Hesketh-Harvey, Tony Hawkes and Paul Merton. Alan, I think you should begin the next round. The subject is What Makes Me Furious. There are 60 seconds starting now.
Repeatedly saying the word dog during the game just a minute is one of the things that makes me furious. But many other things make me furious.
Tony Challenge.
Repetition of things.
Yes, it's not in the title. You can repeat the words in the title. So what makes me furious, Tony, after a correct challenge and 52 seconds starting now?
There is a huge long list. I can't go into it all now, but remote controls on televisions are totally unnecessary. If you cannot...
Alan Challenge.
They're not, because if, if the telly hasn't got buttons, you really need the remote control.
I think you do. I mean, some televisions, I get them in hotels. You can't work them at all.
And so you need the remote control to watch the special movies, don't you, Nicholas? Yeah.
I think you're wicked, and I thought you were my friend. Alan, 44 seconds still available. What makes me furious, starting now?
What makes me furious are people who drive with no respect for the three-lane motorway. People who make noises on...
Tony and Kit, their lights came on together, so the benefit of that goes to Tony because you're over there. Tony, what was it?
I like the thinking behind that, because I'm over there. Repetition of people.
Yes, that's right. It was. And there are 38 seconds. What makes me furious, Tony, starting now?
That road sign, which is a picture of two old people stooping with sticks, and then there aren't any around, and I'm furious to the point...
Alan Challenge.
Isn't that because they've died? You're angry at death of old people there. That seems...
I don't see your logic, Alan. What is it, sir?
Well, to be honest, I thought if I did any interruption, I'd just get the point because I was over here.
Right, well, we'll give you a bonus point for that last remark. We've got a round of applause from the audience. Tony, you get a point because you were interrupted. You keep the subject. What makes me furious? And there are 29 seconds available starting now.
Sometimes I'll buy a pair of shoes on a whim and they'll be too small and I'll take them and they'll pinch me.
Kit Challenge.
There's lots of and ours then. Are we being too picky?
Yes, you are, but it doesn't really matter. It's correct, isn't it? And ours, and ours, and ours. Right. So, I don't know what the audience know we're talking about, but it doesn't really matter. Kit, 24 seconds still available. What makes me furious starting now?
What makes me furious are the yawning pauses on Saturday evening television talent shows before they announce who has been voted off. If 15 million people are watching, that means 12 years has been wasted over a 20-second pause. And Carl Orff's Carmine Burana runs on and he's still in copyright, so it makes me furious he's getting all those royalties when it should be Verdi or Diet.
Oh, Paul Tanner.
Well, he's dead, isn't he? So he's not getting the royalties. Deviation.
Well, his estate gets the royalties.
Yeah, but yeah, but he doesn't get the royalties, Nicholas.
Well, they go to him.
Nicholas, he doesn't get the royalties.
You mean that...
He doesn't turn up on a Friday. He doesn't get a pay packet.
No, he doesn't. All... He doesn't physically...
No, he doesn't. He doesn't get the royalties.
If you want to be logic, the royalties go to him and they're passed into his estate.
Yes, that's right, yes. So colloquially, he doesn't get the royalties.
No, but colloquially saying he gets the royalties. So you've given me an impossible dilemma.
No, it's not impossible.
I think if there's only half a second to go anyway, see, I mean, I think what we should do, we should give the benefit of the doubt to Will at the back there.
Yes! Excellent decision, Chairman.
I guess, and Paul gets the point because he was speaking when the whistle should have gone. No, he wasn't speaking when the whistle should have gone. Right. So that was the end of that round. Oh, I've just been told we have no more time to play Just a Minute.
Oh,
you are a lovely audience. Oh, what a fair result.
What did Will get?
We'll come to that in a moment. Because we have an interesting result. We have two people in second place, equal, Kit Hesketh-Harvey and Alan Cochrane.
Lovely.
And 3 points ahead, equal, Tony Hawkes and Paul Merton. So we say they are joint winners this week, but... We have, in a fourth place, the one and only at the back, Will! Yeah! So, Will, you've got your round of applause, but congratulations to our joint winners, Tony Hawkes and Paul Merton. Yeah! Thank you. I do hope you've enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute, and we want to tune in again next time. It just remains me to say one final thank you to these four fine players of the game, Paul Merton, Kit Hesketh-Harvey, Alan Cochrane, and Tony Hawkes. I thank Sarah Sharp, who's helped me with the score, blown her whistle most delicately after the 60 seconds elapsed. We thank our producer, Claire Jones. We're indebted to the creator of this game, Ian Messiter. And we're very grateful to this lovely audience here in Salford Quays at the Lowry Theatre who've cheered us on our way. From them, from me, Nicholas Parsons, and the panel, goodbye. Thank you for tuning in. Be with us the next time we play Just a Minute.